Masechet Shabbat in memory of Marcel and Jack Shasho. Ruach Adonai.
Today's daf is being learnt in Lunishmat Yosef ben Simha Sheneftar Bekitzur Yamim Veshanim, dedicated by Jerry Harari and family. Today's daf is being studied in Lunishmat Acham Baruch Rafael ben Miriam and Abraham ben Esther. Ruach Hashem Tanichem Began Aiden. We are actually going to start on Pedalit Amud Bet. Actually, we're just going to review outside the Mishnah that we began on yesterday's daf. The Mishnah was talking about an arugah. Arugah literally means a patch in a field that is 6 tefachim by 6 tefachim. Let's say, for argument's sake, each tefah is about 3 inches, so that would be, let's say, 18 inches by 18 inches, which is a relatively small size for a patch. It's 6 by 6 square. So the Mishnah taught us that in such a small area, it's possible to plant 5 different seeds without having an issue of kilayim. One of the laws in the Torah is it's forbidden to mix different seeds together. From the Torah, you're not allowed to mix grapes and wheat. However, midrabanan, as Rashi taught us, this applies even to all vegetables. So our discussion in this Mishnah is rabbinical. So it says you could place 5 different seeds. Rashi gives us the configuration how you place the 5 seeds. We actually have a picture in our Rashi on the Amud Bet. You'll see the box, that's the arugah. You see there's one seed right in the center, which would be equidistant to all the sides, 3 tefachim to all the sides. And then you have rows on all the sides of the arugah. It is seeded all the way across, just leaving the corners opened on all sides. So again, on the all 4 sides, it's seeded across the whole side, just leaving out the corners, and there's one in the center. I should point out that when we say the whole side is seeded, meaning it's with one vegetable. It's all one seed of one vegetable. There's one side you have tomatoes, the other side you have cucumbers, etc. Now, to explain the logic of how this works, why would you need 3 tefachim or 3 tefachim from the center seed to all the other sides? So that she explains to us that, and the Gemara is going to say it as well, that when a person plants a seed in the ground, it nourishes and receives its nourishment from a tefach and a half outside of it. And therefore, if you're going to place the middle seed within 3 tefachim of one of the sides, so they're both going to receive their nutrients from the same ground. The middle seed is going to receive nutrients from a tefach and a half out, and the seed against the wall is going to receive a tefach and a half out. So within 3, it's going to share the same ground and share the same nutrients. Now, really, according to the Torah, that is not a problem. The Torah is not concerned about what's going on underneath the ground. The Torah is only concerned about what's going on above ground, that the seeds should not look as if they're mixed. As she calls that, erbub, that they're not mixed. In the case of the center seed, since it's parallel to the sides, so if it was closer to 3 tefachim to one of the sides, it would look mixed. Not the issue what's going on under the ground. The issue would be what's going on top of the ground, what's visible to us. Hence, the Hakamim gave a shi'ud of 3 tefachim. If it's distanced from any of the sides, it's considered separate, and therefore it's not considered mixed. The proof of this is, because if you look at the sides that are seeded, the sides, let's say, one is going north-south, and one is going east-west. They are perpendicular to each other. Even though the end of one side and the end of another is less than 3 tefachim to each other, it's not a problem. Because since they are on different sides, there's no Irbub on different sides. Which means the seeds that are on, let's say, going north-south, then you have seeds that are going east-west. So the ends, the corners of those lines are within three tefachim of each other. If you look at your picture, for example, if you look at the left side going down, and then you look at the perpendicular line that's going left to right, so the corners are really within three tefachim of each other. And still, it's permissible. Why? Because there's no irbub in such a case. Because they're on different lines, they're going in different directions. However, the center seed, which is parallel, it's not perpendicular, it's parallel to the sides, so therefore it's parallel to any of the sides. It's right in the middle. So all the sides. So therefore it has to be separated. That's why you need the three tefachim rule on the center seed, but you do not need it on the perpendicular lines because there's no concern that it's getting yinika from the same ground. The concern of the Torah is erbub. Erbub is only when they're parallel. It's like you're planting them close to each other. However, when they're going different directions, there's no... It looks, you see, it's evident that they are on different lines. Question?
Different directions.
So that's how you get five zira'im in an aruga of 6x6 tefachim. The Mishnah actually brought a pasuk to substantiate this. The pasuk actually says, Ki ha'aris totzi simha u'gana ziru'ea tatzmiya. So they said the word totzi will bring forth is one seed, simha is its sprout, is a second, ziru'ea is its seeds, would be three and four, and tatzmiya will sprout again, would be five. Although the pasuk does not tell us that it's talking about in a 6x6 aruga, pasuk just tells us five seeds. But based on the calculation we just told you with the 1.5 tefachim that are underneath the ground and that you need it to be separate, the only way you'd be able to put five in this configuration is if you had 6x6, because the center seed needs to be three tefachim away from all the sides. So therefore it's got to be at least 6x6. So that's the din of the Mishnah. Now the Gemara says, and the top of the daf on peh, dekim lehu lerabbanan dahamisha b'shita lo yanke mehadadeh. The rabbis have a tradition that when you put five seeds in 6x6 aruga, lo yanke mehadadeh, they are not going to nurture from the same ground. They're not going to draw nutrients from the same ground. Again, I point out, even though the ones that are perpendicular are going to draw nutrients from the same ground, because they are within three tefachim, again, that is not the concern of kelayim, because it's clearly on different rows. There's no adibub. The point of the Gemara is that the center seed that is three tefachim away, it's lo yanke, meaning that's the shi'ur that the Chachamim demanded in order to consider it separate. Which means they could have said two tefachim away. Why did they choose three tefachim away? Because since each seed draws out a tefach and a half, right, from its nutrients, from the ground that's next to it, so this is going to draw out a tefach and a half, and the center seed is going to go a tefach and a half out, so they're going to collide on the ground. That's not a problem, but since that's the shiur of yinika, so the Hakamim said that when it's three away, that's also going to be considered not mi'urbab. It's going to be considered not mixed. So the shiur is not really written in the pasuk, but it's deduced based on the halakhot that we mentioned. Now I want to point out, and I think this was pointed out in yesterday's shiur, that Rashi brings down a different configuration. It's actually the configuration of the Tosafot, and then he has a question on it. Rashi's questionable configuration was that the center seed is in the middle, that stays, and then you place four seeds in the corners themselves. So in the corners of the field themselves, you'll have four seeds and one in the middle. The reason why that she does not like this is because if you're going to say that's the configuration, you'd be able to add four more seeds in the center of each of the rows. Which means if you need three tefachim distance from all the seeds, so therefore the corners clearly have six tefachim away from one corner to another corner, so you'd be able to place one more in the middle on each row. And technically you'd be able to have nine. No, not that configuration. In the same 6x6 aruga, you could place, you know, three dots on each row. Right. Corner, center, corner, right. And you go down. You know, center, corner, center, corner, center, corner, and then you put one in the middle. So therefore, no. That's Rashi on the Amud Bet just brought down an alternate configuration, but he said it cannot be, because then the Mishnah would have said in a 6x6 you can plant nine. The fact that it said five must be like the configuration that he set. That being said, the Gemara now asks the question on the second line. Gemara says, "Uminalan deha," which means the Gemara is asking, "How do we know uminalan deha dekim nehur rabbanan miltahi? How do we know that this tradition, so to speak, that the Hakamim have regarding the agriculture is indeed true?" Right, which means the Hakamim are giving us an agricultural fact over here. They're telling us that a seed receives its nutrients from a tefach and a half away from it, from under the ground. Now, unless this was given halakha l'Moshe Sinai, which the Ritba tells us was not, so then how did the rabbis know, where did they get this information that we're basing now a halakha from, that a seed has nutrients of a tefach and a half away, and therefore they came to this center seed being placed three tefachim away in order that it be considered separate and no admub. The Gemara is uminalan dehad dekim leul rabbanan. How do we know that this tradition that the rabbis had miltai, that is indeed correct? Exactly. That she says, regarding the shiur of receiving nutrients, miltai lemismach ala, to rely on it, v'lomar b'kiinin achamim b'avodat adama, because they have to come along and say that the rabbis were experts when it comes to the agriculture. Lida kama yuntim shelo titma lomar mi yodia lebriyot shiur yinika. Which means, so you shouldn't be concerned, say, who taught them this? And where'd they get this from? So the Gemara now is going to prove where they got it from. So it says, what does it say in the Pasuk? Pasuk in Devarim, Lo tasi gebul re'acha asher gavelu rishonim. Literally, this Pasuk is talking about the lo ta'asev hasagat gevul. One is not allowed to extend his boundaries of his field into his friend's field. Which means, you know, a person has, let's say, borders with his neighbor. He can't go in the middle of the night, so to speak, and move the fence over a couple of inches and take some, real estate from his friend. So it says, lo tasig, do not encroach gevul re'acha, you know, the boundaries of your friend, asher gabelu rishonim, that were made originally, that were done originally. So the Gemara now makes a derasha on this. Gevul shegabelu rishonim, the borders that were made by the rishonim or by his predecessors, lo tasig, do not encroach. So the Gemara says, my gabelu rishonim, who are these rishonim? Who are these predecessors that you're telling me that you cannot take their boundaries? Amar Rabbi Shmuel ben Nachmani, Amar Rabbi Yonatan, Dichtiv, because we have another pasuk in Sefer Bereshit. Ele bene Seir, these are those that dwelled in the area called Seir, HaChori, they were called the Chori, Yosheve HaAres, those that dwelled in the land. We're talking about the Hori people that live in the Seir section, and they are called Yosheve Ha'aris. So the Gemara asks, Atu kule alma Yosheve Rakiyaninu? I mean, where's everybody else sit in the sky that you have to tell me that they're Yosheve Ha'aris? Which means, of course, everybody's Yosheve Ha'aris. We're not Yosheve Rakiya. Ela shayu bikiyin biyeshuva shel aris. They were experts in land. They were experts in agriculture. Therefore, they're called Yoshev Aris. Those that dwelled in the land, meaning they knew the land. How? Shayu omrim. They used to say, Male kane ze lazayit. Male kane ze legefanim. Male kane ze lete'enim. Which means they would take the kane, which literally would be the measuring stick, and they would measure. And they would say, the distance from here to here, place now olives. And then they would measure again. They would say, place over here, grapes. They would measure again, place over here, figs. So it seems the Hori people were experts in the laws of agriculture, specifically in the law of Yinika, which means they had a certain shiur that they knew to keep the fruit exactly distance from each other in order that they won't draw nutrients from the same earth. So it seems Am Yisrael relied on this knowledge that the Hori people had. It seems it was able to be trusted. They knew what they were doing. As the Torah tells us, they were Yoshve Ha'aris. So Hazal relied on the Horim to tell them exactly this fact of the 1.5 tefachim. You see, they had the measuring sticks. They knew what they were doing. And that's what the Pasuk means when it says, Lo tasi gevul de'alacha asher gavelu rishonim. Meaning, well, not only shouldn't you move your fence in order to take from your friend's borders, but when you're planting, be careful that you don't plant within your friend's seeds when you're going to weaken the ground of your friend. By using your seeds, they're going to take from his nutrients. So what is the shi'ur? Asher gavelu rishonim. The shi'ur that the predecessors established. Who are those predecessors? The Hori people that established, based on their measuring sticks, the shi'ur of 1.5 tefachim. So there's two things the Pasuk is telling you. Not only moving a fence, but planting within somebody else's seeds in order not to weaken them. Now the Gemara tells us some other expertise that the Hori people had regarding agriculture. The Hori, why were they called Hori? Hori also has the same letters as the word Reyach. That is the smell. Shemirihim et ha'aris. They were able to smell the land. Just by smelling the ground, they were able to say, this ground is suitable for planting X, and this is suitable for planting Y. They were able to smell the ground and know exactly what to plant. Vechivi. Then you have the Chivi people. They, even though in this pasuk that we quoted, it does not mention the Chivi people, Tosfot quotes another pasuk in Sefer Bereshit, that he says, in the Dibur HaMatchil Chivi, he says, Omer Abinu Tam, Delav Hainu Chivi Deshava HaMemin. It's not the Chivi of the seven nations, Shari Eno Doresh Klum, Lema'alam HaShemam Ken, Ela Bene Se'ir Gufe Ikri Chivi. He says, the same people that used to live in Seir, they were also called Chivi people. So the Gemara wants to know, why were they also referred to Chivi? Amara papa shayu to'amim et ha'aris kechiviya. Because they used to taste the earth like a snake. Chiviya is a snake. Chivi would be like the ones that were like snakes. Which means they were able to taste it and already say what's suitable to plant in such things. So they would smell it, they would taste it, they were measuring it.
Experts.
But the Habar Yaakov Amar, Hori, why were they called the Hori people? Shina'asu b'nei Horin m'nechsehen. Here's a different explanation. Hori means they became free. Means they became free from their assets. Because we know b'nei Esav eventually inherited the area of Seir. So these people that had a lot of real estate eventually became freed from all their properties. Hence they were called Hori. That's when Bnei Esav went in and took the whole region. So bottom line, Hazal received their tradition based on the Hori people that were the experts of the time. Exactly. Comes the Gemara further and says, Amar Rav Aseh, or according to the amended text, it should say Amar Rav Asheh. Aruga tocha vav chutz megibudeha. Now, Rav Asheh is teaching us that the shiur when we set a 6x6 aruga, that is not including its givul, its border. Meaning, the normal custom of the way that they used to set up these patches were that on the outside of the patch, they would have a border. The Gemara is going to tell us that the border was the size of a stride of a foot, where the farm would be able to walk along the border in order to water the arugah. He needs to water the arugah. Now you have to remember, a lot of these arugot were not just alone. They were all next to each other. So therefore, how is a person going to water his arugah without stepping on the next arugah? So therefore, they would create borders, walking paths around the arugah, so they could stand on that path and water the arugot. So the outside the arugah, they would put a, there was a border, a walking path that was placed. So therefore, yeah, which means look at your picture. Look at your picture in Rashi from Zohar Amud Bet that we saw. Imagine on the outside, there's another little path where the farmer can stand and water it from inside the arugah. Now, the Bashe is telling you that when we said six, exactly, it's six plus that extra, let's say, border on the side. Because if you're not going to say that, if you're going to say the six was including the border, so now you're going to be short. Because then already, let's say the border on the side is a tefa on this side and a tefa on that side. Okay? So now all you have inside the arugah is four tefahim. So now the center seed is just going to be two tefahim away from the ends. And that's going to be considered arbub. So you're just giving us a fact. You should know that when we said six tefahim, it's six clear, and then on the outside you have an additional walking path. Let's read that in Rashi. Rashi tells us, Amar Rav Asheh Aruga. You see that Rashi Dibur HaMetchil? Aruga, it's one, two, three, four lines after they get wide in Rashi. Amar Rav Asheh Aruga She'amru Tzricha Liyot Vav Chutz Megibudeha. Besides its border, Shayu Mani'im Ba'aruga Karka Halak Sivivot Ziri'a Limkom Disha. They would leave a border around the Arugat patch in order to step there, to stand there, to walk there. Kishum Mashkeh Ziri'im, when he would water the seeds, Ma'alek Bigbulin Vashmin and Avasheh. So the Avasheh is Chidush, they lo atem avav im Gibulin. Don't think that the Vav included the Gevul, the border. Usheniach tefach alak lekan and tefach alak lekan, and you're leaving a tefach on both sides. Lo te arugah makom yinikata el arba. Then you're going to only ending up with a arugah of four. Ve'en efresh ben emsa'in l'kshkredo el ha-gevul, etz la-gevul el ha-tefahayim. And then you're only going to have from the center seed two tefahayim. Don't think that. It's factored in. It's six plus. So the Gemara says, Mara says, Tanya Namech, we have a braita to support what Rav Asheh just taught us. Aruga, Tocha Shisha. The center, the middle of the Aruga is six. Givulea Bekama. And how much is its border? Kiditnan, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rochav Kimlo, Rochav Parsa. It is the width of a stride, of the sole of a foot. The stride of a foot. Amar Rav Zera v'tima Rav Hanina bar Papa Amayta Amad Rav Yehuda. Where does he know that from? That's the shiur, the stride of a foot. That's the shiur. Dichtiv v'shkita beraglecha kegan hayarak. So it says, and you will water with your legs kegan hayarak, like the watering of a vegetable patch. Now, what does it mean v'shkita beraglecha? Normally, you don't water with your legs. You water with your hands. So what does the pasuk mean? Vishkita beraglecha, that you will water the field with your legs. So it says ma regel tefa. So just like the size of, let's say, the regel would be a tefa, the stride. Ab givul name tefa. So too the givul is a tefa, which means they tell you vishkita beraglecha, which means you will water it in a place that can fit your regel, which is the border where you're standing is the shura of a regel, which is a tefach. Let's read Rashi. Veshkita beraglecha le'at'in al kitvecha mayim, which means, of course, you're carrying the water on your shoulders. You're not carrying it on your legs. U'lalech beraglecha sivivoteha lashkota. Right, and you walk around that area in order to water it. Lama li lemichtav raglecha lomar shemakom me'alchon eshkota, the place where you're walking to water it, kishur regel, it is a shura beregel. So that's the first condition that we said. It's 6x6 plus a tefach border misaviv around it. Comes the Gemara and continues. Amar Rav. Rav taught. Aruga bechurba shaninu. Rav tells us a very important condition, the way he understood the Mishnah. He says we're talking about an aruga bechurba, meaning in a desolate area. Meaning according to that, it's one aruga without any arugot next to it. It's just one patch, 6x6, with 5 zirayim in it, bechurba. Nothing adjacent, nothing near it. It's not attached to anything. That's the way Rav understood the heter of planting 5 seeds in an aruga is only when that aruga is bechurba, meaning it stands alone. But if it's attached to anything on the sides, Rav will say you're going to run into problems. I will explain the problems. Let's read Rashi. Amar Rav Aruga bechurba shaninu, Rashi, b'mishnatenu la'atir ba'hezer onim. That which we said you can plant 5 seeds, abalosh esvivotea arugot, but not in a case where it's surrounded by patches. Share lo pirshu lecha ela efrez zer onim shebetocha, which means in this configuration everything works out. From the center seed, you're 3 tefachim away, everything is fine, you're not going to run into any issues of Yarbub. But now let's say, if you're going to place other patches next to it, so now already there's going to be a proximity between the sides, the parallel sides are going to be within at least 2 tefachim of each other, because you're going to have the walkway of one aruga and the walkway of the aruga next to it, which is a tefach on each side, that's 2 tefachim, and then you're going to have these seeds and the seeds, so therefore that's within 2 tefachim. So placing arugot next to each other, you're going to run into a problem of erbuv, not on the perpendicular sides. We're not worried about the sides that are not going in the same direction, but the sides that are going in the same direction, that are parallel to each other, they're going to be within 3 tefachim, and that's the issue of erbuv. And therefore the only way you can plant 5 seeds if it stands alone. So Rav rejects having the arugot next to each other, which was probably a normal way. A normal farmer has patches that are all next to each other. Alright, the Gemara is going to give, hey, first of all, it seems that that was a standard system in making arugot. We're not going to now reconfigure the arugot by moving them over a tefa and things like that. But there's still ways, the Gemara is going to say, to keep the configuration and still work it out where they're not going to be in Erbub. So the Gemara says, I read again, Amar Rav taught Aruga b'chorba shaninu. So the Gemara asks, Ve'aika makom keranot, but don't you have the place of the corners? Which means, I'll speak it outside and then we'll use the aid of the pictures. According to the way we're understanding, you did not fill the whole row with seeds. Right. As we learned earlier, you left the corners. So there is room over here to shift the seeds that you planted, let's say to all the way to one side, to one corner. For example, on let's say the on the east-west side, you're able to take all the seeds on that side and move them all the way to the east, therefore leaving part of that side exposed, and then on the arugah that's parallel to it, you place the seeds from the west to the east, in that area that's not parallel to the seeds that are across from it, and therefore no seeds are going to really be within three, because the seeds are not parallel to each other. Which means, since you're telling me the configuration of the arugah is anyway you left the corners open, so therefore you can make what's called a zigzag, which means you could put all arugot next to each other, so long as you just move what some of the seeds to one side, and the arugot that are adjacent to it, the seeds will be on the other side of that same line, therefore the seeds are not going to have any issue of arubub. Look at the picture now in your Gemariot, Rabotai. You see the configuration of nine patches. And so if you notice, just take the one to the far left. You see the one on the Safon side? The Safon Mizrah, the top one, the northeast one. So you see on the bottom row, you see, you have these seeds that are in the corner, and they go towards the, they go across, right, from north-south, going across, and the one underneath it, you see the row that's parallel to it, is going from south to north, but it's not colliding with each other because they're in a zigzag fashion, and therefore you have no problem of erbub. So that's the way that she understands the Gemara's question, ve'ha'ika keranot, that you have keranot, you have the corners. Now the Gemara comes along and answers this and says, Amri be'rav, misheme de'rav, be'memale et ha'keranot. Rav will tell you that he didn't learn the configuration that you left keranot open, that you left the corners open. He learns the configuration of our Mishnah is you actually seated one full side, which means, let's say, the two outer sides, which means in our picture, let's say on the north side, you went from all the way down on the northern side, and then on the southern side, it went also all the way down, east to west, on both sides, but from the corner all the way down. So therefore, this was not an option, because they have no room to zigzag. Because we're talking about where you placed on both sides, on the north and on the, let's say, south. You went all the way down, east to west. And then you put one in the one in the middle. So that's exactly how you have three, but you need two more. Right. Then on the east-west, you just placed one in the
center.
In the center, you place some seeds. You don't have to put one seed, for you could put some seeds. Right. And therefore, you have five seeds and 6x6. Let's review how you have that. Mm-hmm. On the north side, you go all the way down, from corner to corner. And all the way down means east to west. On the south side, also, you go all the way down, east to west, corner to corner. In the middle, you have one seed, that's the third. On the eastern wall, you put one in the middle, or some seeds in the middle for that matter. And on the western wall, also, you put some seeds in the middle. So therefore, Rav does not have an option to zigzag, because in his configuration there's no room of flexibility because the corners are actually filled in. Now it should be pointed out that even in the Gemara's answer, meaning the Hava Amina, that I wanted to make this zigzag fashion, we just must say over the question of the Tosafot that he has on Rashi, where he says that this configuration still is really not going to work, it's going to be an inaccuracy. Why? Because let's take the rows that are parallel to each other, okay, go to that box again that we looked at. That's the box or to the upper left, right, of the nine boxes. So we saw that on the first box and to the upper left, you have the seeds that are being planted, let's say, north-south, right? And then the one underneath that are going south-north. But if you take the ends of those seeds and you draw a line across, so they're going to be within three. Actually, the diagonal is going to be about 2.2 tefahim. Again, true, if you go directly, there's nothing in its path. But if you draw a diagonal from the end of one row to the end of the other row, it's going to be within three tefahim.
Right.
It's going to be 2.24 exactly tefahim, Tosfot says. So therefore, the chaura, this configuration is a problem anyway. So you therefore, because of that question, Tosafot understands it in a totally different way. But you have to, that's something we have to figure out. How does she deal with the Harunim? Do try to create a situation where that 2.24, the diagonal, is not going to be a problem. But anyway, the Gemara says, for Rav, it's not an issue anyway, because he says you were married to Keronot. So the Gemara asks, V'lizra me'ivrai ve'lo limle me'gavai, which means you could still have a way, even according to Rav, that you filled in the Keronot, the corners, you still have a way that you don't have to have one isolated patch. You could still have a scenario where you have patches surrounding it without an issue of kilayim. How? Lizra me'ibrai. Plant the other patches on the outside of this patch. Meaning, if you look at the Hagaot Bach, if you have your box there, you'll see there is a configuration of five patches. It looks like on a dice, the five on a dice. So you see over the configuration, the center one,
this one.
Is that it? Let me see. Yes, yes, exactly. Yeah, well, depending on which Gemara you're using, it's in the Hagata Bach. The Bait Hadash gives us the configuration of what this Gemara means. You have, let's say, the center one is Rav's configuration. You see you have one whole side is seated, right? You see the top one, the whole row is seated, and the bottom one, the whole row is seated. And you have one in the middle, and you have on the two sides as well, you know, two seeds. That's the middle box is the configuration of our Mishnah. And then you have five boxes around it, five arugot around it. It works, the configuration. Because if you look at it, nothing is parallel to each other within three tefahim. So therefore the Gemara says, you're right, if you're going to make a configuration like we saw of the nine boxes, Amash touching each other on top of each other, then you'll have a problem. But if you make the configuration of it where you have two on the corners coming out off the corners and two on the bottom coming off the corners, that's what the Gemara says, V'lizra me'ibrai, which means plant them on the outside, which means stagger them, exactly. Don't place them flush to each other. V'lo limne me'gavai, don't fill them within, like we thought to place on the other with the nine configuration. Plant them like that, and now if you see the picture over here, really nothing is going to be within three.
Don't fill the corners.
Don't fill the corners. On the ones that are around it, they just have, correct, they're blank. So therefore nothing is going to be within three. So the Gemara says, you're right, you could have done that configuration. What are you gaining? Of course, you want to gain, instead of having one little patch, guy doesn't usually plant like that. He wants to plant more seeds. So he wants to fill it up and make it worth his while. So the Gemara says, you're right, in theory it should work, but gezerah sheme yemale et hakeranot. We're worried that what's going to happen, that the guy is going to fill in the keranot, the corners, which means in the adjacent fields that he placed around it, we're concerned what happens if he, let's say, plants all the way to the corners. If he plants all the way to the corners, now already it's going to be within three tefachim of the center field. Which means you're right. If a guy's careful not to plant in the corners, and he keeps all the seeds in the center of each row,
you won't have any issues. But let's say a guy goes and he plants the whole row. Now what's going to happen? Now if you're going to go all the way to the end, now it's going to be within three tefachim of a parallel row. So therefore you're going to have a problem. So therefore basically what Rav is telling you, he never allows you to place an arugah next to any arugot, even if you could figure out a way to configure it where you won't have a problem, gizirah, that you might ruin it, that you might fill it all the way up, the core to the corners, and therefore it's going to be within three. The top that she says, gizirah, shema yimaleh, ve'arkach yizra b'chavirta etzla givul mitoka, kasher zaraim sa'id. Which means he's going just like in the center one, he planted the whole row. So he might do that in one of the other ones. Now that could be a problem if it's within three tefachim. So therefore, he didn't allow it at all. And that's really the reason comes out why he doesn't allow the zigzag in the end also. Because even in the zigzag form, you can come to a situation to fill it in. Even though, exactly like we said, even though the Gemara rejected that anyway, because Rav's configuration doesn't allow to the zigzag, because by the way, he's filling up the whole row, but we're concerned on the other ones that you might get them within. Comes the Gemara and says, Velo yehe ela rosh tor yarak, which is fine. Let's say you even would fill the rows in, and they're within three tefachim. So what, the Gemara says? Bottom line, they're separate patches. What's the whole issue of kelayim? Irbub, looks like it's together. Look if they're parallel. Bottom line, if they're in separate patches, they're separate. And therefore the Gemara says an analogy. It shouldn't be worse than what's called a Rosh Tor. Rosh Tor literally means the head of the furrow. Meaning, when a person would make his arugot, in order to, let's say, or a guy has a field, let's say, right? So at the end of his field, the last furrow, it seems, would come to a point, which means they would start it off regular, like they would make all the other furrows, would start off wide, and then as they were digging it, it would get narrower and narrower and narrower, so the end of the field would come to like a point. If you see in there, you see it looks like a triangle, which means that would be a sign that this is the end of his field, which means it was called a rosh tor, the head of the furrow. There was a clear, distinct way the ends of the field would be marked, in order that everyone would know this is the end. And the Gemara says by Din of a Rosh Tor that even if, let's say, some of the end of the field goes into somebody else's field next to a seed, even though it's within three tefachim, it's not a problem. Why? Because it's evident this is one field and this is a different one. Again, we're not worried about yinika, that it's drawing from the same nutrients from the ground. We just need to know that it's separate. The fact that the Rosh Tor, that triangular ending of a field, makes it evident that this is separate. So the Gemara says, Arugot should be like a Rosh Tor. Since bottom line, you have the Arugah, you have the walkway next to it, you have the Arugah next to it. So therefore, I don't care if it's within three tefachim, even if it's parallel to each other. Bottom line, it's separate. So the Gemara says, in the second line, Milotnan, didn't we learn? Haya Rosh Tor Yarak Nichnas Letoch Sadeh Acher. If let's say you had the end of one field, in the Rosh Tor configuration, that it was going into somebody else's field, Mutar, Mipnei Shenre'eh Sof Sadeh. Which means, because it looks like the end of the field, there's a clear sign. So the Gemara answers, En Rosh Tor Ba'arugah. Rule, arugot are different. Which is, when did we say the din of Rosh Tor? So that she's going to tell us, we said it either from a arugah into a big field, which means you said it from either a big field to an arugah, in a backwards case. However, we do not say from arugah to arugah, from patch to patch, that's considered separate. Patches all considered one item. Let's read Rashi. En Rosh Tor Ba'arugah, that's right by the triangle. En Rosh Tor Ba'arugah. En Torat Heter. meaning this analogy that you're giving to the din of the Rosh Tod, me'aruga la'aruga. We don't say from patch to patch. Patches all look similar. It's just all square boxes next to each other. They don't look distinct enough. Ela misadeh gedola letoch aruga. This heter of Rosh Tod was said if you have a big field, let's say, next to a patch, where already it looks different as it is. Then already he will tell you if it's right next to each other and the field goes into the aruga, since the last furrow makes it evident that it's a separate field, that's okay. Or the other way. Or from one big field to another big field. The Gemara says no. Arugot are not considered distinct, therefore back to that issue. If you're going to place an aruga next to other arugot, even if you could figure out a way where they won't be within 3 gezeras, you might end up filling one side all the way to the corners, and if you fill it up to the corners, it's going to be within 3 to the parallel. And so what? They're separate arugot? No. Arugot are not considered distinct enough, and therefore you're going to have a problem. That's why Rav says the only way you could learn the Mishnah is the aruga bechurba. We're talking about an isolated aruga alone, not next to any arugot. Comes Gemara and says, Ushmuel Amar. Shmuel argues on Rav. He says, aruga ben arugot shaninu. He says, no, we're actually talking an aruga amongst other arugot, which means, like we learned earlier in the zigzag fashion, Shmuel will say, that's the configuration. So long as the rows, even though they're parallel, but they're not directly facing each other, so therefore, you'll have no problem. And according to Shmuel, we're not going to make gezerot that you're going to maybe fill in one row, and therefore, according to him, there is no problem. However, the Gemara says, you're right, you don't have a problem with the seeds, let's say, coming within 3. But bottom line, you're going to have intermingling of leaves. Which means since the leaves of these two rows are going to intermingle, because I guess they grow wildly and they're going to grow over each other, that's another issue now. Which is, even though you take care of, let's say, the seeds within 3 tefachim, however, when you have the intermingling of the leaves that are on top of each other now, that's another issue. Which is, Shmuel, when you have arugot next to each other, you didn't take care of the alim. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, V'akam et arve ba'adadeh. Ha'alim shel aruga zu ba'alim shel haverta milma'ala she'em b'nem ela shnet tefachim shel givulin. Which means you're only going to have, let's say, 2 tefahim, right, of the walkway separating them. True, the seeds are not parallel to each other, so you don't have a problem with the seeds. But what's going to happen? The leaves are going to protrude from one side to the other side. Now they're going to be intermingling. That's a problem as well. So Shmuel, you still have a problem if you know with how to go next to each other. So he answers, Benote shura lekan. Which means, according to this Gemara's answer, the Gemara's answer actually is zigzag fashion, which means I jumped the gun. In the question, the Gemara was saying, Shmuel can say, you're actually putting a configuration next to each other. So the Gemara said, but what do you mean? The leaves are going to be on top of each other. To that the Gemara says, no, if you zigzag them, so the leaves are just going to go straight. So they'll go straight into an open area, and therefore they're not going to be intermingling. Look at that, she. Benote shura lekan v'shura lekan. Mamshich shel ruach zeh besad kerem mizrahit sefonit. Right? One side is, you go from on the mizrahit sefonit side, v'shel ruach zeh lezad ma'arabit dirumit, and the other side you go ma'arabit dirumit, so they're not parallel to each other. That's the point. There will not be like we learned when we asked according to Rav, that configuration of the zigzag, we're saying that according to Shmuel. And Shmuel is not concerned that you might fill in the whole side. And therefore, what we said a rejection in Rav becomes the maskana of Shmuel. Rav didn't want to go with that configuration. However, Shmuel will say, we're talking about an aruga amongst other arugot. You have Alin? We're not concerned about Alin. The only question is, what was the Havamin of the Gemara? Because the Gemara said, we're talking about even Aruga ben Arugot, before Zigzag. I mean, Shmuel, bottom line, forget about the leaves. If it's Aruga ben Arugot, and you're not going with the Zigzag configuration, the seeds themselves are with three Tefahim. And they have to say that Shmuel holds that there is no problem of Arugot, because just like by a Rosh Tor, we said it's considered separate, he's going to say Arugot are considered separate. So Shmuel's arguing on the Rav on a different deen as well, which means he's going to say Arugot are really discernible. So really, I don't care if they're within three Tefachim. The Arugot themselves are separate. Ah, but the only problem is you have leaves. Leaves with the Alim. The leaves that are going to, or the alim that are going to intermingle with each other, that's a problem. Which is, even though it's separate arugot, and I'm not worried about the kilayim issue, let's say, of the seeds themselves, because it's discernible, separate arugot, but what about the alim? The Gemara says, no, zigzag, which is talking about that they're not going to intermingle because they're not directly in front of each other. So even that takes care of the other problem of what we said also. I don't even care the fact that on the diagonal it's 2.24. Because bottom line, it's separate arugot. Separate arugot is discernible according to Shmuel. So let's review the Mahloket Rav Shmuel over here. Comes out, when you go back to our Mishnah, and our Mishnah said, you have an arugah that's 6x6, you could put 5 seeds. According to Rav, it's an arugah that stands on its own, not next to any arugot. Even though technically you later configure it, but he's worried that what, you might end up planting the whole side corner to corner, and then you're going to be within 3. And we're not going to say that arugot are discernible, because all the arugot look like one big arugah, and therefore you have a problem. Whereas Shmuel will come along and say, no, you're even allowed to plant many arugot next to each other. Even if, let's say, they're within 3 to each other, because each arugah really stands alone and it's discernible. There was no din of kilayim. But the leaves are going to intermingle with each other from one arugah to another. So we'll say it's a zigzag fashion. Therefore, even if the leaves protrude a little, no problem. Comes the Gemara and says, Amar Ula. Ba'ubim Araba, they asked in the west. The shayla over here is, let's say you tore a furrow throughout the whole field, what's going to be the deen? What is this case? So let's say we have our center seed. Imagine, instead of just keeping a seed in the center, let's say you actually dug a furrow through the whole center of the field. And planting that same seed, that fifth seed, you didn't just plant it, one. You planted it throughout the whole furrow of it. Now, it's also the way Tosfot understands it, a tefach wide and a tefach deep. Now, if that's going to be the case, if it's a tefach wide, so now it's going to be within 3 of the borders. So the Gemara's question is, do we say that since it's a tefach deep, so maybe it's considered separate, which is, again, we don't care if it's within 3, so long as it looks separate, right? So maybe the fact that you dug it a tefach wide and a tefach deep, running across the whole center of the field, even though it's within 3 of the borders, maybe I consider it as it stands alone, because the depth of the furrow might give it like independence, and therefore, we're not concerned. Or do we say, no, bottom line, it's within 3 of the border of the field, so therefore you're going to have a problem. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Sheshat, Ba Irbub, Ubitele Tashura. You have Irbub? Bottom line, I don't get Tefah deep. Bottom line, it's within 3. It's considered Irbub, it's considered mixed, and then it ruins your whole Aruga. Rav Aseh, or some of the Gersa Rav Ashe Amar, En Arubo Mebatel Et Ashura. He says no. Bottom line, that row stands out distinctly, and therefore it's not going to ruin the configuration. You're okay. So bottom line, according to Rav Ashe, you could have a case of even if the center seat is within three, you're still okay. If the floor was dug across the center of the field, tefa wide, tefa deep. Etive Ravina de Rav Ashe. So Ravina asked the question to Rav Ashe. Anoteya shtei shurot shel kishuin. Let's say a guy plants in a big field, in a sadeh gadol. Let's say two rows next to each other of kishuin. Kishuin, let's say, are cucumbers. Shtei shurot shel delu'in, or two rows of gourd. Shtei shurot shel fula misri, or two rows of beans. Mutar, which means these are permissible, which means two rows, two rows, two rows. Even though they're all next to each other, it's permissible. Why? Because they look different. When you have two rows, they stand out distinctly. In a big field, therefore you have no problem. Let's read Rashi. Rashi says, Shtei shurot shel kishuin, ve'etzlan shtei shurot shel delu'in. And right next to them you have gourd. And right next to those you have two rows of beans. And we're not talking about in a small patch, we're talking about in a big field. Mutar, shurot hashive, two rows are significant. Right? That they're considered a field on its own. They are distinct. So two rows, next to two rows, next to rows, no problem of kilayim. However, shura achad shel kishuin, v'shura achad shel delu'in, v'shura achad shel fula misri, asur. If you just have one row, next to another row, so it's going to be a problem. Rashi says, mikol echad havi arbub, delo hashiva kol chad sadeh l'nafshe, right, each one furrow is not considered a separate field unto its own. Alma tele mechad avi erbub. So what do you see over here? One row is considered erbub. Back to Rav Asher. I don't care if you dug in a tefah deep in the ground. Bottom line, it's only one row. And we just said that one row is not considered a field on its own. And therefore, if it's in three tefahim to the border, it should be a problem. How did Rav Asher tell me that it's not in Irbub, the Khawra, even in Sadeh Gadol? We said one row next to another row of two different vegetables is going to be a problem. It doesn't stand out distinctly. Gemara says, no. Shani Acha Diika Sharacha. It's different over there. In the Braita that we just mentioned, Koshia Sharacha, which literally means that she says, Zimorotehen, their branches, Aruchot, are very long in these vegetables that we mentioned, the Dilu'im, and the Fula Misri, and the Kishu'im, Umitarbot Tarbe Milimala. Here we're talking about items that have a lot of branches and vines. And therefore, we're going to plant one row next to each other. What's going to happen? They're going to intermingle on top and it's going to look like erbub. When we were talking about in the aruga, we were talking about items that you're planting that don't have too much branches or vines, and therefore you don't have a problem. So the issue over here, why one row is a problem? Because it was one row of an item that has a lot of vines and branches that's going to, you know, intermingle with the other one. Comes the Gemara and says, Amar Rav Kana, Amar Rav Yonat Yohanan. Hedush of Rabbi Yohanan, Harotze lemalot kol ginato yarak. If a guy wants to now fill his whole garden with vegetables, we're talking about a garden that is 6x6. Ose aruga shisha al shisha. You make a patch 6x6. Ve'ogel ba hamisha. Make a circle with the circumference of five in the box. If you look at the, the Tosafot, you see a box of 6x6. So Rabbi Yohanan is giving you a new chidush over here, where we said you're only allowed to plant one in the center, one seed in the center. He argues. He says if you want to plant, you can even plant much more. Make a circle in the box, and therefore he says you can plant in the entire circle. The whole circle is permissible. Yeah, one item, and then you can plant also on the borders. You can plant across something else. You can plant five seeds in such a way. You're not limited, he holds, to one, because he says when you make a circle in the middle, it's evident. That's already considered separate. And therefore you have them, I don't care if it's within three, I don't care if all these bottom lines considered a separate configuration. So therefore he allows you to draw a circle, so to speak, in the center and plant the whole thing. Now his Lashon actually was, Harotzen lemalot kol ginato. Kol ginato's mashma, the entire garden, including the walkway. Just always remember, on a 6x6, on the outer rim, you have a tefach walkway. So it's much, you can even plant on the walkway. So the Gemara says, Va'ika de beni ubeni, which means, what do you mean? How can you plant on the whole entire field? Don't you have bene bene, the walkway that is in between? Which means that she says, Va'ika, actually let's read it again, and let's read that she, again. See that she did with the ogel, you make a circle. Bechol aruga hamisha. In each patch. Now we're not only talking about one patch, by the way. We're talking about even patches that are next to each other. So long as you make the circle in the patch, Vezureya be'ogel minihad, right? In the whole circle you can plant one species. Ve'yesheker harbenadabar. That's a very noticeable thing. Ve'en sarik l'arhibin aruga l'chavirta. We're not worried about that you have to be concerned from one aruga to the other. Exactly, which means you can plant right next to it, even within a tefach and a half.
Okay.
No problem. On the rose on top, on the aruga next to it. I don't care if it's within, let's say, three tefachim. Yeah, because bottom line, it's not going to be an issue of Irbub, because it looked, the circle is noticeable on its own. So the Gemara asks, next Rashi, Vayka Beni de Beni, Hen Gibune Aruga Shamar Lemar La Aruga Vav Chutz Megibulin, Votan Gibune Kish Yisrael Mechadera Metakef Ribu Arugot Vav Yerbub Shereim Sheshne Minim, which is if you're going to plant the border, now already you're closing up the aruga. Right. And therefore it's going to be arbub. If you're planting another species on the walkway, so now it's going to be parallel to another species. Which is the whole reason why we say they're considered separate, because they're separate arugot. And your Lashon, Rabbi Yohanan, was what? Zoreya kol agan. Kol agan was mashma, you could even plant the walkway. But if you're planting the walkway, it's going to be now an issue of arbub. So the Gemara says, Amre debe Rabbi Yanai, for you're leaving the walkway unplanted. You're right. When I said kol agina, I didn't mean the whole entire gina. I meant, you know, within the six, within the circle, you could do the whole thing, the whole five, and then on the borders. But I didn't mean the walkway itself. Navashe amar, Navashe is the last din of the Gemara. Imayu ziru'in, shte ziru'in. I'm sorry, Imayu Ziru'in Sheti Zura'an Erev. Erev Zura'an Sheti. She says like this, you can actually plant on the walkway itself. Wow. And there's a way to plant on the walkway and still it'll be considered discernible to the one next to it. How? Plant them in different directions. Which means if you're planting, let's say, the seeds on one walkway vertical, so then, which means going, let's say, you know, the long way to the length, so on the other walkway, plant it going to the width. So therefore, you're going to the width on one, plant it the long way on the other. So therefore, it looks clearly as a separate one. So Rav Asher is telling you, when Rabbi Yochanan said you can plant the whole gan, he meant the whole gan. Not only the entire circle, not only the borders, but you can actually plant
in the walkway.
In the walkways itself, back to back to each other, so long as they're configured exactly. One going to the width, one going to the length, they call that sheti ve'erev. Now, Gemara goes on to say, Eti ve Ravina Rav Asher, Ravina asked the question to Rav Asher, Avodat Yarak Tefachim. What does this mean? Nashi, two lines on the bottom. Avodat yarak biyarak acher. Kama shi'ur avodato larhik habero memenu kede avodato. Which means, if a guy wants to plant yarak biyarak, he wants to plant vegetables with vegetables, what's the maximum amount of vegetable that he can plant in the smallest shi'ur? So the Gemara says, shisha tefachim. Right? Like, exactly like our Mishnah. You gotta have at least 6x6, then we know you can plant 5 vegetables. Now, that's 6x6 tefachim. The Gemara says, ve'ro'im otam ketabla merubat. And you look at that field of 6x6, that patch, squared. Which is mashma, you're planting it in a square. So the Gemara says, ketabla udeshari. Which means you're only planting it in a square configuration. Not like Rav Asher that says you can make a circle in the middle. The Gemara is going out of its way to say you got to keep it in the square, meaning you can only put one in the center, and then on the borders, where according to Rav Asher, as long as you have 6x6, you can even plant it in the circular fashion. So the Gemara says, now, atam la kuleba kula harina, Latir Rosh Torah Yotze Emenna. So the Gemara says, no, really, you can make the circle in the Aruga. However, by keeping it in the square configuration, you benefit another leniency that you wouldn't have if you didn't keep the square configuration. And what is that? You have the Rosh Torah Heter. Meaning, we learned earlier, if let's say have an Aruga that's going into a big field, since the end of the Aruga comes to a point, right, so it's clearly defined, so therefore if it's going into a big field, it's considered evidence, considered separate. That's only when you plant it in a square. Then you have the Heter of Rosh Tor. And therefore the Gemara is saying, really, if you wanted to plant it in the circular way, no problem. But you have another Kula, all these tell you, if you want to have another leniency, if you're planting, let's say, an Aruga into a larger field, and it's going to be within 3 tefachim, no problem. Why? Because you have the heter of Rosh Tor. Because they considered separate. So the Rashi comes along and says, we can conclude with this, Hatam, top line of the Rashi, Hatam deba'e merubat, the reason why we went with the square configuration over there, Lachshuva sadeh ka'amar latir Rosh Tor. In order to be matir, this Rosh Tor heter, which is what? Either we have to say, one of two things, because we learned earlier that when it comes to arugot, when it comes to patches, we don't say, according to some opinions, this teen of Rosh Tor, because they're not considered separate. So either you have to say, Rabbi Yohanan doesn't agree to that. He says, even by arugot, you could say the deen of Rosh Tor, iname itle ma'aruga la'aruga. Or we could say no. He indeed holds that Aruga and Aruga, you don't say that they're separate. But this case is talking about you going from a Sadeh Gadol to a Aruga. And therefore, if it's not in a square configuration, he's matir to say what? That is considered separate. And therefore, you have no problem.